Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. If you would like to learn how to support this podcast, visit www.patreon.com/writingexcuses.
Season 17,
Episode 9.
This is Writing Excuses, our structured deep dive class. Episode 1, let's talk about structure.
15 minutes long.
Because you're in a hurry.
And we're not that smart.
I'm Dan.
I'm Mary Robinette.
I'm Pung.
And I'm Howard.
We have a brand new class starting. 8 episodes, we're going to talk about structure. And you've heard us talk about structure a lot. So we wanted to bring in Pung Shepherd to get her take on all this incredible stuff. Pung, tell us about yourself.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. My name is Pung. I am a speculative fiction writer and the author of The Book of M, which came out in 2018, and The Cartographers, which is coming out in March.
Well, excellent. Thank you very much. Now, we are starting today, talk about structure. This is your class and your outline. Where do you want to start in this structural discussion?
Well, I think we should just talk about, talk about structure and in a kind of general way to open this deep dive series. And I also just want to say how important it is, I think. So what I really want to do with this series is go beyond, the Freytag's Triangle, Save the Cat, the Truby's 22 Steps, these really big overarching story frameworks, and look at structure much more closely. As really specific techniques that can fit into these really big general narrative shapes that often get talked about. Because I think that structure at this level of detail gets overlooked a lot. We spend a lot of time as writers talking about, plot and character and world building, but we don't often give structure the same level of attention. It's just something that sort of happens naturally to a lot of our stories. But I'd like to talk about ways that we can be a lot more intentional with structure as we write.
One of the things that I was excited about when we were talking to you and bringing you in for this was exactly that we tend to go back to the same things. So two things that I wanted to say. One is that I asked Pung to come because I've been working with her for the past couple of years doing programming for the Nebula Conference. When I was president, she was in charge of that with Aaron Roberts and Kellen Sparra. So it's really nice to have someone with this kind of breadth of knowledge of the industry. The other thing that I've been thinking about a lot recently, which is one of the reasons I was so excited about this topic, is the idea of structure in general. And when we're talking about things like Freytag's Triangle, Save the Cat, all of that, what we're really talking about is something in art that we call copying the masters, where you take an existing structure like what you used to do when as an artist, and sometimes still do, is that you would take a painting and you would make an exact copy of that painting as a way to learn the techniques. And another related thing that you would do can do is you would take the painting and draw circles around the major elements, and then remove the original painting and put your own elements into those structures, into those circles, to kind of copy their compositional structure. And I think that a lot of times what happens to us as writers is that we are constantly copying someone else's structure as a kind of reflex. It's like, oh, I found Save the Cat. That works. And it works every time, except that the problem with that is that it gives you, the problem with something that can give you repeatable results is that you are always going to be repeating the same kind of story. And so what I'm excited about with this is we're going to be talking about a lot of different structures, which is going to really broaden the kind of story that you're going to be able to tell.
Yeah, on my other podcast that I do called Intentionally Blank, we did an episode about Encanto, the movie, which follows, which ignores a lot of what we think of as kind of structural norms, because it is based on Latin American magic realism, which does not follow a lot of the structure that we think of. And it's been fascinating to have that conversation with a lot of people in the audience who some people thought, oh, this didn't work. The ending didn't land. And it's because they were expecting one thing and got another. And other people in the audience were very thrilled by seeing something that was so new and different that they hadn't seen before. And a lot of that just comes from using different structural techniques. There is not one way. I do think, and I'm guilty of this myself, we often teach that the existing structure that we use is there because that's just how brains work. And it isn't really. It's a cultural artifact. And there are lots of different ways of doing it.
Yeah, we talked about this at great length in the setting expectations class we did at the beginning of this year, end of last year. And we talked about how when people recognize the beginning of a structure in a work that they're consuming, you know, whether it's a movie or a book or whatever, you've set their expectations for that structure unfolding per formula through the rest of the work. And if you're not using that structure, they will often be disappointed, which is what, you know, some people who saw Encanto experienced. That doesn't mean that it's wrong. It means that we haven't yet educated the audience to set expectations for a structure they've never seen before.
Yeah, and a lot of structures exist for reasons that that aren't just kind of encoded. Like the three-act structure that we are all very familiar with, one of the things about that is when you really unpack what's happening with the three-act structure, it's like, well, there's a beginning, and then there's a middle, and then there's an end. and That's not actually all that useful when you really dig into it.
Hey, writers, are you thinking about learning a new language? I think exploring the world, experiencing other cultures, and being able to communicate with people outside your everyday experience lets you create richer, better stories. A great way to do that is with Rosetta Stone, a trusted expert for over 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. They use an immersive technique, which leads to fast language acquisition. It's an intuitive process that helps you really learn to speak, listen, and most of all, think in the language you're trying to learn. They also feature true accent speech recognition technology that gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's like having a voice coach in your home. Learn at home or on the go with a desktop and mobile app that let you download and access lessons even when you're offline. And it's an amazing value. A lifetime membership gives you access to all 25 languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, and, of course, Korean. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Writing Excuses listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
I'm wondering if we should actually pause for Book of the Week, since I think we are about at the middle right now.
Yeah, I think that's
speaking
a good idea.
Structure.
Look at that structure.
Let me take that one. I've got our Book of the Week this week, which is actually another magic realism novel called The Inheritance of Orquídea Divina by Zoraida Córdova. She's been on the show before, and she's a really wonderful author. This is... the story of a magical family with Ecuadorian roots, but living in a place called Four Rivers in Oregon. And the grandmother, the matriarch of the family, calls everyone together right at the beginning of the book to tell them that she is dying and they need to come and collect their inheritance. And this being a magic realism novel, the inheritance is not money, it's several other things, both good and bad, that spin out over the course of the novel. And it's told in multiple timelines. We get the modern stuff interspersed with the life of the grandmother as she grows up, the woman Orquídea Divina. It's a really wonderful book. I'm absolutely loving it, and I recommend it very highly. And it does have a very unique structure. It's not following a lot of the rules that we expect, and it's very surprising and delightful to not see so many things coming. So anyway, great book. Check it out.
So I'm particularly interested in this whole topic, and I'm about to ask Pang a question because I am in the process right now of working on the outline for The Martian Contingency, which is book four in the Lady Astronaut series. And the structure, which I used for... Relentless Moon was the seven-act structure that seven-point plot structure that Dan teaches, and it will profoundly not work for what I want to do with The Martian Contingency. And I've been like trying all of these different structural ideas to try to figure out exactly what the framework is that I'm hanging the thing I want to talk about, the thing I want to explore in the story. So, Pang, what are some, when we're thinking about structure, what are some of the implications that are there for us when we start looking at how to pick one of these, you know, a different structure than maybe one that we're used to working with?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. And I think there's two ways to come at it because... there are some writers who probably come up with a story or a character first, and then you have to figure out what kind of structure to use, which is what it sounds like is happening for you. The story and the characters are already really, really set. And then on the other side, you could come up with or just have a structure or an element of structure that you really want your work to center around, but you don't have anything else yet. It's sort of like, do you come up with the character first or the premise first or the setting first? So I think, I don't know which is harder. They're both hard if you come up with the structure first or you come up with the characters first. But I think that if you've got if you've got the seed of a story, you've got the seed of the character, and you're trying to figure out what type of structure would be best for that, you first have to ask yourself, what is the most important aspect of your story that you're trying to explore? Is it the character or the relationships between characters, for example? Because then you might want to consider structures that focus on that, like multiple timelines or multiple perspectives. Or is the thing that you're trying to emphasize most the world or your world building or the setting? In which case you might want to focus on a structure that is built around, and we're gonna talk about all these in depth in future episodes, but you can focus on a story that's built around a specific thing in your world, or stories that have footnotes. Or if the thing that you want to focus on the most is maybe like a twist, if your whole story is built around a twist, there are different structures that lend themselves really well to that kind of reveal more than others.
In a lot of ways, I feel like what we're saying is similar to the episode we did last year with Amal about poetic forms, that there's lots of different forms of poetry, whether it's a Shakespearean sonnet or a Sestina or something like that. And the form you choose will help guide the poem itself and the impact that it has on the reader. We often think that there's only one structure and we have to use it, and that's not the case. There's lots of different ones. And like Peng was just saying, the one you choose can help draw out elements of your world building or your characters or the twist you want to focus on or things like that. They can change the pacing and the tension. I think it's a really great point to make.
One of the things that I, and I do it instinctively at first, and then I fall back on craft when I realize I'm doing it. If I've come up with a fascinating setting or a fascinating, a location or a thing or a technology or a plot twist or a character, I will begin structuring the story I want to tell around how our understanding of that thing unfolds. If it's a character who's undergoing transformation, then are there beats in that transformation? Well, those beats become structural landmarks around which the story paces itself. Are we exploring a location? Well, the geography becomes kind of a map to the structure. Once I realize that I've started doing that in my head, I take a couple of steps way back and say, all right, does this map onto an existing structure I know how to use? Does this map onto Seven Point? Does this map onto Kisho Tenketsu? Does this map on, what does this map onto and how can I use it? Usually I don't catch myself soon enough. And so there's a lot of slop.
Yeah, the I was actually just thinking about Kisho Tenketsu, which is the first time that I really I had talked about, oh, and there are other things, you know, like the rule of three is very Western, but other places it's the rule of five, the rule of nine. But until we did the episode with Dong Wan Song, where we looked did a deep dive into Parasite, the film. And they were talking about Kisho Tenketsu, I hadn't really thought about what, you know, how that worked and why that film was so satisfying. So in that structure, you have, it's a four-act structure. You have introduction, key, development, sho, twist, ten, and conclusion, ketsu. And it's really satisfying and one that I'm, it's the one that I've been thinking about, contemplating for Martian Contingency. But it is this thing where there are so many options out there that it's just exciting to be talking about this.
Yeah. Well, and I, before we end, I do want to point out that this doesn't have to be a massive sweeping thing. It could be something much simpler than we're making it sound. For example, Avatar, The Last Airbender, the cartoon, is split into three seasons, each of which follows one of the major nations that's involved. We get water and then earth and then fire in season three. And that, like Howard was saying, that's just the geography of the world and the world building influencing how the story is told. And so just thinking in those terms, you can come up with, well, why did they use three seasons? How did that fit their story? Well, it allowed them to explore each of the three extant nations. The air doesn't get one because it doesn't exist anymore. And so that's at some level, that's what we're saying. Look at what you're trying to do and see what structure is going to help bring that out. Anyway, we've gone slightly over time, so let's throw this to Peng. What is our homework for this week?
Your homework for this week is to pick a favorite book with an interesting or unusual structure and see if you can identify how the author's chosen structure enhances some aspects of the story, whether it's the tension or the plot or the character development.
That's wonderful. Thank you very much. We will be back next week with more talk and some specifics about structure. Between now and then, you are out of excuses. Now go write.
Your hosts for this episode were Dan Wells, Mary Robinette Kowal, Peng Shepherd, and Howard Taylor. This episode was engineered by Marshall Carr Jr. and mastered by Alex Jackson. The liner notes and transcripts for this episode are available at writingexcuses.com. To learn more about us and to support us, visit patreon.com/writingexcuses.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.